Here we are then, it's a Tuesday. We have Prickles in. We also have Jack Barnes in. And also Kieran Jemvey in as well. They're on the four-piece course, but you're way too old for it, Prickles.
Sorry.
We're working on it. We're going to try and raise the age so that over 50s can do it as well. Seriously, that's what we're going to do.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's all about building confidence and communication skills. Now, here's one of the top stories. It's a kind of a follow-on from yesterday, but we've got a load of other things we want to chat about as well. This is the headline. 330 boxes, 30 rolls of tape and 3 rolls of bubble wrap. What do you think I'm talking about?
Christmas at a poor people's house.
Far from it. Far from it. What do you think I'm talking about?
David Cameron moving house.
David Cameron moving house.
The removal
hardly
man.
A poor person had no. Christmas. 330 boxes, 30 rolls of tape, and 3 rolls of bubble wrap. Removal men accidentally reveal what it takes to pack up the Cameron's Downing Street possessions as the Prime Minister begins moving out of number 10. Now, we were talking about this. What does he actually have in the house? Can he take any of the furniture with him? Probably not.
He must be taking lots of the ornaments with him for all that bubble wrap.
Wow. Well, yeah, that's a good point.
Do you think they've got an inventory of... Well, make sure he doesn't take anything he's not allowed to.
They must have, mightn't they?
Well, because there's lots of things in number 10 that have actually been given to different prime ministers when they visited different places.
Yeah.
From different countries. So do he can't be taking all that, can he?
Do they get to keep it then or not?
Well, no, because it's given to them as the prime minister. It's not given to them as the person.
What? How do you know that? Have you read the rule book?
No, because there's a lot of stuff that's actually been given to the country, isn't there? That
just
bring
for instance, there's a picture of him and Donald Trump or something like that. You know, would he want to take that picture with him or
leave it there? If it's a personal gift. But surely in their role, they're not meant to take personal gifts.
See, in our case, it would just be a case of pack up the kids' clothes, the toothbrushes, the toothpaste and the flannels and the sponges. But in this instance, he's got 330 boxes. He really did move in, didn't he?
He did. Lock, stock and barrel, he went, didn't he?
And he's moved out very quickly, too. Shall we take a call?
Yeah.
Hi, who's this?
Hello, Ian.
Is that Keith?
Yes, mate. Good to have you back.
Oh, it's nice to be back. How are you? You all right?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, what you realise is that you still get paid, don't you?
We were talking about this earlier on.
Read that.
He's actually going to lose £70,000 a year on this, you know.
Well, yeah.
I think we should have a whip round.
But he's still got, you know, protection, et cetera, and bodyguards, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, do you know what? That's a really good point of subject here, because I said to the wife last week, after the Shilcott inquiry, that Tony Blair, I said, he will always be a target and he will always have to have people with him, and how much is that going to cost, because his life must be under threat with all the stuff that he's done. So, you know, I do kind of feel sorry for these people that, okay, they've done is a job, but at the same time, in Tony Blair's case, there's a lot of destruction there, and does he deserve all the hassle that goes with it? You bet your backside he does.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, how much is that costing us, that protection that we're going to have to give Tony Blair and now David Cameron?
Like his children as well, mate, isn't it? You know, they're prime targets, really.
And his wife.
His wife, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but did I hear you mention Timmy Mallett earlier?
Yes.
Yeah, did you know that he's a well-established artist?
No, I didn't.
No, seriously, mate, yeah, his work sells for thousands.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Honestly, well, a friend of mine, and she went and bought some windows off this property up in, I think it was up in Gravesend, or up that way somewhere.
Yeah.
When she got there, there was this really loud Australian woman. She said, oh, yeah, these are the windows you want, you know, whatever they speak, I don't know. And she said, oh, she said, you might have heard of my husband, because they were looking at some paintings on the wall. And they said how good they were. And she said, oh, you might have heard of my husband, he's Timmy. And she said, no, sorry. She said, Timmy Mallett with the mallet? And apparently, Timmy Mallett, and I've had a look online, and he does some really good paintings.
Oh, right.
I'm laughing, Keith, because we've got two young lads here looking at me as if say, who on earth is Timmy Mallett?
I did the Jack Up the 80s, and he played.
He did.
That's right,
Timmy Mallett. He's a personality, isn't he?
He legend. Certainly is.
Yeah.
He's a legend. And
all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, but didn't he have a couple of hits?
He did.
Yeah, Itsy Witsy Teeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini.
That was
right,
the one.
Yeah.
Were you singing
Whack-a-Day?
To it,
that was
Kieran?
A Void Away club.
Whack-a-Day, yeah,
that
crikey.
But apparently, like I was just saying, you know, he's a well-established artist.
Well, we were saying, the reason why we mentioned him was we just said that, you know, because they've got, we're just about to have a Prime Minister that hasn't been voted in. She hasn't been, because we're having a Prime Minister that hasn't been voted in, we say we should have guest Prime Ministers every week, and Timmy Mallett would be a great one to brighten up everybody's day for a week.
As I was told, though, you don't actually vote for a Prime Minister, you vote for the party.
Yeah.
Well, in this instance, neither's happened, really, has it?
Well, the party has chosen their Prime Minister.
Ah, that's the whole point, Keith.
Yeah.
They haven't.
She put herself forward and everybody else back down, so...
But there hasn't... So she's the only Prime Minister that's ever not been voted in, then?
No, John Major was the same, wasn't he?
No, he went up and they voted him in.
Gordon Brown?
I thought Gordon Brown.
Yeah, but he was voted in by the Labour Party.
Eventually.
He was voted in by the Labour Party.
Yeah, but with this, the woman, what do you call her? Oh, okay, remember her name then? At the moment, she never had no contenders in the end, did she?
No, but the fact is that the people that would have voted her in haven't voted.
And the people that would have voted Conservative, Keith, in the general election would have voted for David Cameron.
Well, yeah, but like you say, you know, you don't actually vote for a Prime Minister. You know, the party picks the minister. But like you say, she hasn't been voted for.
And she hasn't been voted for.
But there's already calls today, Keith, for a general election.
Yeah, well, I think that's just the media saying we should have a general election.
Well, I did on Facebook. I reckon we should have had a general. But the thing is, there's no point in having a general election because the Conservatives will get back in.
I think David Cameron should have stayed where he was because it was him that called the referendum and he should have done his job.
Yeah, I don't know why he actually resigned.
No.
That's an interesting one.
He should have seen it through. You know?
I think
you're
right.
He should have, you know, if he was that certain that we were going to remain, there was no backup plan and he's just run away from it, hasn't he? He shouldn't have been allowed to.
Same as Boris, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what? He's got to go and see the Queen at some point to offer his resignation. I would love it if she turns around and says, "Oi, you've created this mess. You get yourself back to number 10 and your bubble wrap
and
sort this out.
You and your boxes and your bubble wrap, you just go back and get on with it."
Indeed.
Poor old Samantha, she'd be pulling her hair out.
On a lighter note, can I just... I don't know whether Tim still listens, but can I wish him a speedy recovery, mate? Tim Morris?
Tim Morris, yeah, of course you can.
He's doing well. I just seen a picture of him on Facebook, and he's starting to climb the hill again.
Good, I'm glad.
Which is good. So if he's listening, all the best, Tim, and your family, mate, and speedy recovery.
Absolutely. Thanks for that, Keith.
All right, then, mate.
Thanks, you're cool.
Yeah, cheers, then.
Cheers now. Bye.
Bye, Keith.
So, Timmy Mallett and his palette. Timmy's palette. That sounds great, doesn't it? Really does. I didn't know that he was an artist, but then wearing those shirts, you would have expected him to be, wouldn't you?
He probably designed them, didn't he?
Famous for those wicked shirts. I used to have shirts like that, you know?
Yeah, I can see that.
They're all in the loft as well.
Are they?
Do you know what?
You need to get them out.
I've got to say this. Obviously, you know, when I used to wear them, you know, I used to work the clubs and the pubs and do all the, you know, the comparing and stuff like that. I used to wear those shirts all of the time, which was probably about 20 odd years ago. That's when I was in my prime. And then I stopped doing it, got married, got really fat. None of the shirts fit. So, but last year decided to go on a health kick, lost 2.5 stone, and now all the shirts fit.
Have you tried them all on again then? Yeah.
Well, not all of them. I tried on one because they're all like the same size.
I'll wear one in next week. Come on. Put your loudest shirt on just for me next week.
I bought an Arsenal shirt in 1988. Okay, so we took it almost 30 years ago. My son came home for the weekend, not last weekend, the weekend before that. And he said, you haven't worn that short shirt in years. And I said, I haven't worn this shirt since before you were born, mate. So I've got this shirt on and it fits. It's amazing.
See, we had this conversation about me with my status quo T-shirt.
Yeah, what's the oldest thing you've got in your wardrobe?
Yeah, that was it, my status quo T-shirt.
All right, so we got 16, we're 2 16-year-olds. What's the oldest thing you've got in your wardrobe that you can still wear?
Swimming armbands. One size fits all socks.
I think I got a pair of socks from Woolworths once.
Woolworths? You want to keep hold of them. Yeah. Sought after they will be.
Do they say Woolworths on them?
Do you still have to
put them on eBay?
Do you still have to wear armbands?
Yeah, I do. I can't swim.
We're all different.
No, I'm just asking. Do you still have to wear armbands?
I asked you not to bring it up around the back.
See, my shirt is 34 years old.
Is it? What, your status quo one?
My status quo shirt, yeah.
I'd sell that. They're in the army now, so...
Ah, look at him, yeah. Eh? Look at him, old Jack the Lad over there. Look, hey.
He's not even called Jack.
David Cameron stepping down tomorrow after Theresa May was declared Tory leader 9 weeks earlier than expected. Family needs to work out where to live as Notting Hill home is still rented out and constituency too far from the schools. Outgoing Prime Minister is in line for pension of around £40,000 a year when he turns 65 and is expected to get £20,000 payoff. But he will get far less than Tony Blair after waiving the traditional gold-plated pension handed to former premiers. Confirmed today, the multi-millionaire Blair has been taking this full pension, currently an estimated £80,000 since he left Number 10 all those years ago. So not only did he go over there and stamp all over Iraq, he's also been screwing the system over here, £80,000 a year. Big respect to Tony, to David Cameron for only taking £40,000 by way of a pension, as opposed to Tony Blair taking the gold-plated, I want £80,000. You can see why he's in the game, can't you?
Yeah, but that's all a lot of it are in for. How ironic would it be for David and Samantha Cameron to move, and most of our schools are now academies, most of the schools on the mainland are oversubscribed. How ironic would it be for him to be homeless, jobless, and there's no room for his children at the local school?
See how
it's
you
called
like
karma.
It.
See how it's you called like karma. It comes around.
If you're listening, Dave, I mean, there's not much chance that you are, but if you are, someone get a message to him. You can come and stay at us.
He's busy with his bubble wrap.
We've got a spare room that you and your family can stay in, and then you'll know what it's like for certain families. Will you get charged for that extra room then? If he knows I've got a spare room and he's going to live in it.
No, you're all right, because you're buying yours.
Oh, it's all right then, is it? Don't work that way then.
No.
That's all right then. All right, Dave and family, you're welcome any time. All right, we ain't got a parking space, so.
No. Right,
so just so you know. Now, we want to talk about... Yeah, we didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday, guys. You want to chat about Top Gear. Should warn you, Ali doesn't watch TV at all.
She probably doesn't even know.
Do you know what Top Gear is?
Yes.
Have you ever watched it?
It was three naughty boys trying out wheels and stuff, wasn't it?
Okay.
Three naughty boys trying out wheels.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's a Hot Wheels advert.
It is Hot Wheels. There. Just move yourself around on that microphone, Kieran.
Yes, I used to have to endure Top Gear every Sunday evening.
I can honestly say that I've never watched it all the way through, ever. I've watched little bits here and little bits there. I'm not really a big fan. But I've been watching this argument brew on Twitter and Facebook about the new setup. And, you know, Chris Evans is clever. Some would say genius. Big mistake taking this role on, because it was doomed from the start. Because let's be honest, those three guys have been doing it for so long and did such a job on it that nobody else could have taken that on. And what an ego to actually think that you could take it on and take it to the next level. I don't know whether he actually thought he was going to do that and make a good job of it, or he thought, hang on, I could make a few quid out of this, because it was doomed from the start. He was never ever going to make a good job of it, purely and simply because Top Gear fans are not wanting to watch and listen to Chris Evans' style. Now, on radio, I think he's a genius. I think he's very clever and he's a genius. But on programmes like Sidestepped It and Let It Go.
It's kind of like Terry Wogan, isn't it, with Eurovision?
Not really, because I think Graham Norton did a splendid job on that.
He did, but the Eurovision, every time the music... You're still expecting Terry Wogan, aren't you?
But I think that's going to be quite odd. Mm. The 2017 Terry Wogan. I don't know. I think it was a money grab.
Who?
Top Gear.
Top Gear. Money grab for who?
Well, for the BBC.
Chris Evans, BBC.
BBC to keep it going.
I think Matt LeBlanc was just having a good time.
Do you know what? This has really backfired on the BBC, because obviously the other three guys have now they've started their own programme, haven't they? They've started filming their own programme.
And Amazon Prime. Is it on Prime? I think.
And all this has done is just highlighted that they can't do it without you. Maybe the BBC should have swallowed a little bit of pride and said, look, you know, you've missed one series, you can now come back, okay? Give the people of Britain that are paying the licence fee what they want, because most people that are Top Gear fans, they would have wanted him back on the show.
We should have had a referendum on it. We should have had a say in who is on Top Gear.
You never know, we might still have one.
I'd like to see the turnout of people that go to that referendum as opposed to the people that went to the Brexit one. I imagine that would skyrocket.
Well, no, because let's be honest, it was a high turnout for the Brexit. Massively high. You're suggesting that it was a low turnout on the Brexit, but it wasn't. It wasn't. Quite, especially on the island. You think 79% of people got off their backsides for the first time in 40 years to go and vote. Incredible. That's a high turnout. I postal voted, but I mean, you know, we all got off our backsides and did it. That's the highest on the island that anybody's ever done anything simultaneously or roughly the same time. I mean, I just think that's an incredible thing.
And the Isle of Wight was one of the highest percentages for voting out as well.
They were.
Conservative Island, but
Not necessarily, because most Conservatives wanted to stay in.
That's true.
Most Conservatives have still got that vote as well, whether we do stay in or stay or go out. I don't know whether that's still the case.
And the problem there was that vote was made political. It should never ever have been made political.
Anyway, let's get back to Top Gear. What's your thoughts on Top Gear? Do you think now they ought to just scrap it, let it go?
Let it go. Put it down.
No, I think Dave is going to do well off this. That channel, Dave. Have you seen Dave?
Yeah.
Dave Jarvu. I think that's going to do really well for itself with that.
What, the new Top Gear or the old Top Gear?
The old Top Gear.
No one's going to watch the new one, so it's going to go straight to Dave.
Okay, just
that's on 24 hours a day, isn't it?
Yeah, 24 hours a day.
24 hours of Top Gear, isn't it, on Dave?
Or storage hunters.
Do you think that they should now bring it back, get rid of it, kick it in the touch? I mean, what do you think they should do now?
Just can it completely. No one wants it anymore.
It's never going to be... they do, but they want the original style, don't they?
Yeah. I don't know why they called it Top Gear. They should have just renamed it.
Second Top Gear.
Yeah. There was a Fifth Gear at one point, wasn't there? What was that one? Do you remember that?
No.
I never even watched it.
Cartoon, wasn't it? You're making it up.
No, that was real.
Yeah.
It'd just be interesting to see what the BBC do now, because they've got this pup now, and they, you know, do they put it down? Do they, you know, what do they do?
Have a referendum.
Have a referendum on it.
Let the people speak.
Let's be honest. The reason why it got taken off in the first place was because he punched somebody.
Jeremy Clarkson, yeah.
This is where Chris Evans tried to be clever, but it backfired on him. There was a situation with the staff that were working on that series. He was rude to, according to the American fellow, and they weren't very happy about that. It was almost like he was trying to create the same kind of atmosphere and the same kind of news, to get himself a little bit higher publicity. He didn't need to do it, to be honest. He didn't need to do the show full stop. It was always going to be a noose around his neck from the start. So it's either his ego got too big, he got too big for his boots, or he just thought, you know what, I'll do that. It's going to be, it's going to fall flat on its backside, but I'll do it and I'll get loads of money for it. And he probably did. And let's be honest, if you were in that position where you could go and do, I don't know, 8 shows and you get yourself a couple of million quid, you're going to do it as well, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're going to do it, Jack?
Yeah, I would definitely do
You'd
that.
You'd sell yourself
well,
for
I
that?
Well, I mean, what I'd do it, but make it clear to the public that I'd only be doing it to get the money. So no,
you can't do that.
Yeah, but no, because I don't, anyway, no one would think that I'm actually an idiot who wants to do this show.
They probably would.
Well, all right, but end
they'd
of the day,
see through you, wouldn't
when you've got thousands of pounds, do you really care?
You're only going for thousands as well.
Yeah,
I'm going millions.
Well, I mean, I don't want to set my standards high. I'm all right with whatever I get, really. I don't mind. I'm not fussy. I'm like you.
That's low standards.
It is low standards, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway,
calm down. Calm down.
All right, okay. we're going to move on from this subject now, because what was the last time? What last time we watched television, Ali?
To actually sit down and watch something, 9 months ago.
Really? Nine months. So what did you watch?
I don't know.
Look at these kids watching you. Look at you thinking.
I've kind of had a big lifestyle change. Big lifestyle change.
You're going to watch the Olympics coverage, though, surely?
Probably not.
No.
Probably not.
What about Top Gear?
No, definitely not.
Are you a Strictly person?
No.
Look at her. Does she look like a Strictly person?
No.
Come back to the Olympics. There's another golfer that said he doesn't want to go to the Olympic Games this year because of the Zika virus. What's your thoughts on that?
Fair game to him, I think.
So if people are thinking and that way, that they're going to be under some kind of threat, then somebody ought to do something now rather than, you know, leave it up to people. I mean, if they're going to be under threat because this this disease is unfortunately going to be there and you've got a chance of getting it, or is it just the media hyping it up? I mean, is there no chance? Is there a good chance? Is there, you know, what's going to happen?
I don't know, but you can understand the people pulling out, because why would you put yourself at risk?
Absolutely. But then those people that are going, and they're let's be honest, they're sensible people, and they've decided to go. Surely they've looked into the risks, and the risks aren't many. So why are we still getting people that are saying we're not going because of the risk?
Well, maybe it's not about that. Maybe for the people that are going, it's more about being in the Olympics. Maybe that outweighs how they feel about the other.
Right,
that's heroic. That is.
Heroic.
Yeah. If you're willing to give up your life just for the chance of the Olympics.
But then, to a lot of people that compete in the Olympics, that is just their lifelong ambition, isn't
it? You've made it, haven't you?
Here's a question. It's a deep one. It's a deep one. What would you give your life up for?
Me?
Yeah.
My children.
Anything else?
No. My children.
Just your children?
End of.
All of them? Or
all
one
three,
or two?
No. I can't pick them, can I? No, all
well,
three
you might. Because no. Do you have favourites? Because I've only got one, so of course you're my favourite.
No, I don't have favourites.
But you've got three. Come on, you like one more than the other.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. You told me you did.
No, I didn't. They've all got, considering they've been brought up by the same parents, they've all got different little traits about them.
Right.
Some are endearing, some are not quite so endearing.
Yeah, you told me about her.
Careful.
But no, there's not a favourite. I love them all the same, but I like them for different things.
Okay.
That's the only way I can explain it.
We're going to come to you guys in a moment, but first of all, let's stick with you. Because, okay, you were the mum in that role that we just asked you, and then you were the mum.
Well, I still am.
When you were a child, when you were a kid and you were growing, there was about 9, 10 of you?
There was a lot of us, yeah.
How many?
Seven living at home, yeah.
There was seven living at home. So you got seven brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
There's seven of us, yeah. So were you the favourite?
No.
Did you ever feel that you were the favourite?
No.
Did you ever feel that you were the least favourite?
Yeah.
See, that's an awful thing to be in, isn't it? An awful situation. Because I must admit, I was... this is where it gets quite complicated. I grew up thinking that my two brothers and my sister were my real brothers and sister. It turned out they were only half-brothers and sister. So I then found out when I was 20 there was two more half-brothers and one more half-sister elsewhere. So I got all these half-brothers and sisters. And, you know, but all along, I never felt like I belonged... But I knew that I was my mum's favourite. I knew that I was her favourite. And that is... I'm glad. It's almost like... You know, when I think about it now, it wasn't like my decision to only have one child, but I was so glad we did, because then you couldn't have been accused of having, like, favourites. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So, let's go over to you guys. I mean, you're 16. Hopefully this is not too deep. It's not going to affect you. We'll give you some therapy after the show if necessary. But are you an only child? Jack, so you got brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I've got one sister and two stepsisters.
How old? So one sister. You got one real sister.
Yeah.
Okay. So how old is she?
She's 19.
She's slightly older than you. Yeah. So I'm guessing that you're the favourite because you're the youngest.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say that on air, but
why not? Don't matter about it.
Yeah, I am.
Do you feel like you are?
If you don't want to answer any questions, feel free. Don't answer it. Because this is kind of personal, and it might you know mess you upstairs. It might do, because you know you're dealing with truth. You're dealing with facts here, and you sometimes might be dealing with things that, do you know what? That's too close to home, and it's too upsetting. I mean, you know, Ali's bawling now. Look, she's got tears rolling down her cheeks now.
Seriously, as a child, I always felt, and I probably, even now, in my 50s, I always felt like the black sheep.
Did you?
Like I didn't belong.
Now, that's really strange, because I kind of felt that way for a long time. Before, when I was 20 when I found out that my dad wasn't my dad, and all my brothers and sisters, I kind of seemed different to them. None of them liked sport. They all had different looks. You know, they were, you know, I was short and stocky and loved sport. And I mean, all kinds of sport. I would be playing all the time, watching football crazy. None of them were. And the bloke that I thought was my dad wasn't either. Okay, so I always thought that I was slightly different to them. But I'm going to say, going back to the original point, I always knew that I was my mum's favourite for whatever reason. But I felt like I didn't belong. And that's kind of how you felt as well.
But all these years later, I mean, obviously my brothers and sisters are still around. I still feel that as I'm grown up.
That's sad.
And it's kind of... In my 50s, I'm still totally different to how they are.
Right.
So,
what about you, Kieran? You got any brothers, sisters?
I've got three stepbrothers, two stepsisters.
Right, okay, so you're an only child in one relationship, then?
It's a weird one.
It's not a weird one at all. No? I mean, we're all different, and there's nothing weird about this at all.
And this is life.
It is. You just think, okay, you're talking stepsisters and brothers, and I'm talking stepsisters and brothers. There would have been a time back, and they're probably up to about the 1960s, possibly the 70s, that stepbrothers and sisters wouldn't have been...
You didn't even know what they were.
No, they'd have been, it'd have been unheard of.
No.
Wouldn't
because
it? Because people used
just
to
stayed together.
Stayed together forever, for whatever reason,
for
even
kids.
Though
That's
they want to end up murdering each other, and so on.
Yeah, but in those days, it's probably your sister. There's some weird stuff going on back then.
Well, I had, when I grew up, I was 26, and I actually, we are going deep, aren't we?
Yeah.
I actually found out that a person I thought was my uncle is actually my brother.
Really?
And I didn't know until I was 26.
And you didn't even live on Pan.
No. We lived in Lake.
So... Hang on a minute. Do you want to talk about this anymore?
I don't mind talking about it. Yeah, I don't mind. It's common knowledge.
So is it?
It wasn't at the time.
So the bloke that you thought was your uncle.
Yeah, I thought this chap was my uncle. He's 6 years older than me. I thought he was my uncle because my nan brought him up.
Right.
And there were my other two uncles living in the house. So I just naturally assumed he was my uncle.
And he wasn't.
And I found out at 26 he's actually my brother.
Right, okay, so why did your gran bring him up?
Because my mum had him.
Yeah.
And she ended up with someone else.
Right.
And my nan just brought him up.
Stepped in.
Yeah.
And that's Auntie Peg's sister?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, look at this, we've all got secrets.
Oh, no. Skeletons.
We've got
big skeletons.
Yeah, I think we need a break, to be honest. I thought I was the only one, but we've all got
no.
So, do you get spoilt rotten because you're the youngest?
Well, I mean, I think so, but don't tell my sister, do you know what I mean?
Don't tell your sister.
I'll just broadcast it instead.
Okay. She won't be listening.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot.
We'll get her phone number. We'll tell her to listen at 10 tonight.
Is your sister still at school?
She goes to university.
Yeah, whereabouts does she go to university?
Kingston in London.
Okay. All right, so there's chances she might not be listening.
Yeah.
All right, okay. But you are the sport one. Come on, yeah. when it comes down to Christmas time and presents, I bet you do well at your parents, and your sister doesn't do quite so well.
Nah.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite true. We both get presents, but the one that gets the best presents, you know, say it right now, for me.
Yeah. But so come on, give us an idea of what it's like in the old Barnes.
Well...
Household, Christmas time, you open up your present, there you go with your
She's got a bottle of nail varnish.
Yeah, your £300 Xbox or whatever.
I got like a big guitar and she got a little book or something, I don't know.
That's how it is it?
Yeah.
See now, as a mum, all three of my children, Christmas, birthdays, everything, I tried so hard to spend the exact same amount of money on them so they never felt that.
Is that what you, that's what
I wonder
you do with your kids?
If, yeah. I wonder if they, now as adults, because two of them are grown women, whether they realise that or whether they felt
that's
they
interesting.
Were treated differently.
See, it's a hard one because you have different people because I'm a musician, instruments cost a lot. I have a brother who likes football. A ball's like £20. So
getting
it's quite
some
hard.
Shin pads.
It's,
yeah.
It's hard to get the prices even.
That's true.
No, mine were always even. Yeah, guaranteed, mine were always even.
But you did that for a reason,
though,
obviously.
Absolutely, because I see again.
You didn't
perhaps going back to my childhood and feeling like I did. I never wanted any one of my children to feel that.
So okay, let's ask the question and be honest, because I would imagine they're the only ones that can answer this. Do they feel like you've got a favourite?
I think they all joke about it.
Okay, so what's the joke? Come on.
Well, the joke is that. Laura's her dad's favourite. Right. Maxine's my favourite, and Casey is kind of like the baby.
No one
so
likes.
She's every no. So she's every,
no one likes Casey.
So she's everybody's favourite. Yeah. You know, I mean, Casey obviously gets spoilt rotten by her two older sisters as well.
Right.
But see, and that's what I'm going back. Love wise was exactly the same, but likewise and different yeah. traits they've got. So yeah. as a mum, it's really hard to explain that. I'm hoping I never ever showed that.
Well, let's see. We'll come back in two ticks.
The Lunchtime Social Debate, brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
This is Vectis Radio.
The Castle in St Helens offers four-star self-catering accommodation in two properties sleeping up to seven people. The properties have secluded grounds with off-road car parking just a few minutes' walk away from the beach and a village green. St Helens is a charming village, and the Castle is an excellent base for your Isle of Wight holiday, whether you want to explore all the island has to offer or just get away from it all. We're open all year, dogs are welcome, and short breaks are available. Go to our website at www.sthelenscastle.co.uk for full details of prices and availability. Or call us on 01983 875 993, that's 875 993, to find out more or to book your ideal getaway.
All Washed Up are a group of friends and family brought together by toe-tapping music and fun times. Their influences stem from blues, bluegrass and skiffle genres. They also like to put their own All Washed Up twang on popular songs with an eclectic mix of banjo, mandolin, ukulele, guitar, bass, harmonica, washboard and T-chest bass. They play feel-good, foot-stomping tunes that are good for both the soul and dancing. To book All Washed Up for your event, call 01983 521 267. That's 01983 521 267. Or email dameshirleysteed@gmail.com. Or check them out at www.allwashedup.info.
Key Arts is offering a new drawing workshop. Carbon Copy will be on Saturday, 18th of June from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m. at Key Arts for young people aged 11 to 14. Working with island artist Hannah George, you will have the chance to build up intricate layered images using carbon paper in this exciting drawing workshop. To book your place, call Key Arts' box office on 822 490. Waves is a Key Arts' youth offer, funded by the Isle of Wight Council and available to young people resident to the Isle of Wight.
Hi, I'm Kevin Wilson. Join me every Monday from 1 till 4 for my personal take on the news, plus a special guest, lots of info on the island's arts and entertainment scene. See you on Monday. Best day of the week.
Stay social and get in touch. It's at Vectis Radio on Twitter. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
The Lunchtime Social Debate, brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
Here we are, we're back then with part two, and we have Prickles in, being a Tuesday, and we've also got Jack Barnes in, and Kieran Jemvey as well. And I tell you what we didn't get the chance to discuss, because I was away, and that was the Cliff Richard situation.
What's
your thoughts on
what's
that?
What's the Cliff Richard situation?
We all missed that.
Yeah, we've missed that, what?
What, you don't know?
No, I've seen him in concert. Tell me about Cliff.
See, I think sometimes you kind of, I don't know, I don't know where your head's at, and you don't know either.
No clue.
Well, you know he was wrongfully accused by the BBC, and they turned up at his house about, I don't know, a year, 2 years ago, with you know, the police turned up to have a look at his house, try and find evidence of wrongdoing and so on and so forth. But the BBC cameras were there, and they filmed it all.
Yeah.
And, well, obviously, he's now, there's no case to answer because there's no evidence. Okay, so now he's suing the BBC for £1 million. And I think, only £1 million?
Yeah.
Only £1 million? I'd be suing you for a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, I would, because Cliff Richard is kind of whiter than white, isn't he?
And he said a couple of weeks ago, I think, you know, and I think he's absolutely right. What police investigation starts with lights and a camera? Because that's what it amounted to. So what do you think on that? I mean, he's saying that people shouldn't be named until they're actually charged. And I agree with that. I really do. And this person that's made some kind of claim, you know, he gets off scot-free. He's not named and shamed. You know, and I do feel sorry for Cliff Richard. I hope that he follows this all the way through, because I think this happens too many times. Do you remember going back probably about 7 or 8 years? There was there was a young lady that was murdered over Christmas time. Joe Yates Weekly, I think her name was, in the Bristol area, and they found a body, and then they pinned it. They tried to pin it on this bloke that was her. What would you call it? She was living in her house. He was like the housekeeper, or whatever,
tenant, landlord.
Yeah. But he had this mad frizzy white hair. He made him look like...
Oh, yes, I know where you were.
Do you remember that film?
I do remember.
Back to the Future?
Yeah.
Marty, we got to go back to the future. They made him look this mad scientist-y type... Well, they made him look like a killer.
They hounded him, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah.
Sky News were guilty, ITV were guilty, and so were the BBC. They filmed him, they put him on air, and then they put him on every single front page of the newspaper, and because he had mad hair, he was in the frame. It turned out that he didn't do it, he wasn't guilty, but his life was completely ruined. How can that still be happening? With, you know, have we learnt nothing? That we put that man's, that picture in the paper, we put him all over the TV, basically accused him of murdering somebody he didn't. He didn't do it. They proved that he didn't do it because someone else is in prison now for the crime that they accused him of, or tried to fit him up. Because that's basically what they tried to do. They fitted him up. How wrong is that? And this happened to, it's a different crime, but Cliff Richard has gone through exactly the same thing. I think that the BBC smelled this massive story and thought, let's get up there because we get the scoop on this, the full scoop. And what they did was absolutely disgusting, really, really disgusting. But I can't believe he's only suing for $1 million.
Well, because he doesn't need the money. Probably it's more about just making a point. You can't do that.
Thing.
But then, let's be honest, people sue for a hell of a lot more. I think sue for a hell of a lot more, and yeah, okay, he might not need the money, but he could always give that away to charity.
But maybe knowing Cliff Richard, he's probably thinking, well, why would I sue for more? Because it's the British public that's going to pay for it.
That's true.
When you say you know Cliff Richard, what do you mean by that?
Well, I've seen him.
How can you possibly understand how he's feeling and why he's doing what he's doing?
Because I think he's never, ever... He didn't kind of put up any defence or anything like that, did he? You know, I think people that are guilty of stuff kind of shout their innocence a bit too much, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, whereas people that have got nothing to hide tend to just, okay, if that's what you think it.
Yeah.
And just breeze on, don't they? Which is what I think he did.
What, you mean he just got on with it?
Yeah, I think he was just like, well, you know.
I don't think he had much choice, did he, to be honest?
But I think most people kind of think, well, the truth will come out in the end, so...
Might as well just leave it. I've got nothing to hide.
What's the point in it bothering me if I know I've got nothing to hide?
Although it can still ruin it. Accusations are nearly as bad as being charged.
Mm.
If you have been following this story, he's been on a lot of TV programmes very recently, and his health suffered incredibly. Mm. And I do feel sorry for him. Sir Cliff Richard stood out at Wimbledon. He was at the final on Sunday, and it's probably the first time that you've seen him out and about, probably since this thing started. The star beamed at the cameras as he stepped past in the smart suit, wearing a tie and so on. He was later snapped with the likes of Benedict Cumberbatch, Bradley Cooper, Pixie Lucky, isn't he? It was more about... Do you know what? This story, I've just talked to him, Cliff Richard, to see what the latest in. It's more about what he's wearing and where he went on Sunday.
How old is Cliff Richard?
Cliff is probably about... he's about 75, isn't he? How old do you reckon he is, guys? Come on, have a little guess.
See, I think he's probably Cliff a bit Richard. Older than that.
Could you name one of his 80. Songs? About 18?
80.
Go on,
name a song.
A Cliff Richard song.
Yeah.
Did he do one about summer holiday or something?
Yeah.
He did.
Didn't he do Californian Girls, or was that Katy Perry?
Oh, I think that was Katy Perry.
That was well, Californian Girls originally was done by the Beach Boys, wasn't it? Anyway, he's 75. Okay, he is 75. That's incredible. Do you know what? I've got my mobile in my pocket and it's vibrating.
I wonder why you were smiling.
Anyway, BBC chief stands by Cliff Richard coverage after singer launches lawsuit. BBC director Tony Hall has stood by the corporation's controversial coverage of a police raid on Sir Cliff Richard's home after the singer launched legal action against the BBC and South Yorkshire Police. Hall said he was sorry for the distress that had been caused to Richard, but Richard, last
Cliff
name,
Richard.
not Cliff, but Richard. But said the BBC was right to report a matter which was of public interest. Police raided Richard's Berkshire home in August 2014 over historical sex abuse allegations. The BBC images from BBC cameras with a helicopter hovering over his property. The singer was told by the police last month there would be no charges and investigation had been dropped. So they basically turned it. Normally, just say for instance, later down the line, if you fall on bad times, you want to be, you know, rock singers and so on, and you start taking drugs and so on, and you've got something, the police will come knock on your door, but there won't be a BBC cameraman there. Or a helicopter. You get what I'm saying, you get where I'm going with this. I think, honestly, he's right. Since when did a police investigation start with lights and a camera? It's totally outrageous. And for that BBC fellow, Tony Hall, incidentally...
Stand by it.
I say to you, Hall, basically, you should resign. You should resign. And then there'll be another job. I mean, OK, there's panic at the moment because everyone seems to be resigning from their posts, i.e. Prime Minister, England manager.
But if you're not fit for purpose, you shouldn't be there in the first place.
Absolutely right. And for this guy to come out and say, we didn't do anything wrong, because that's what he's saying... I'm sorry.
You did.
But how would you like it if some of your members turned up at your house...
Hounded your family or
...with lights and a camera and made allegations against you with a few bobbies on the beat? I think this guy's got to go. Well, why aren't they hounding him? Why aren't they hounding him like they did Cliff for 2 years? Because that's what it amounts to. It's disgusting. How can this keep going on? Bearing in mind, we just mentioned the Joe Yates Weekly, I think that's what her name was, in Bristol. That poor guy that was hounded by the media. This goes on all the time.
But if that hadn't been the media, it would have been somebody else there with a mobile phone to snap it, wouldn't they? So...
Hall said, Sir Cliff is a fabulous entertainer who has done great things for the BBC over many years. We said sorry for the distress he's been caused over the last couple of years. He didn't accuse him of stealing his wallet.
No.
You know,
it's a bit more major than that.
Exactly. And to just sort of just...
I wonder if you could connect to the news feed on what he said at the time.
Interesting.
Hall said at the time.
If the police are investigating a matter which is of public interest and concern, then we should report that, not just us... but all our colleagues in the broadcast media and newspapers as well. It was revealed at the weekend that Richard was launching a £1 million legal action against the BBC and the South Yorkshire Police. He said, "My wife effectively turned upside down and my reputation worldwide was unnecessarily..." Oh, sorry, not my life.
My life. I was going to say, he ain't got a wife, has he?
My life has been... whose phone was that? Was that mine?
Yeah.
Was that yours?
No, it's not mine.
I heard a beep. It must have been yours. He said, "My life has been effectively turned upside down and my reputation worldwide was unnecessarily damaged." Richard added, "In the absence of satisfactory answers, a court will determine whether or not their behaviour was justified and proportionate. I would not want the same thing to happen to others, whether in the public eye or not." The trouble is, it's happening anyway. Hall then confirmed that, yes, we have received a letter and will respond to that in due course. What do you think the outcome will be of that?
I think Cliff Richard will get his £1 million, and then if he's any sort of man, he will say, look what they did, and go with the publicity exactly the same as they tried to on him.
Okay, he said that he had appeared before MPs on the Parliamentary Home Affairs Committee who had concluded the BBC had done nothing wrong in its decision to run the story. There we go. We're back to those MPs who couldn't run in a brothel.
Well, it's, not, are they?
It's reviewed our decisions and said we see nothing wrong with the BBC's decision to run the story, and I think that that's right. He added, an independent police review in February 2015 sharply criticised the agreement in 2014 between The Force and the BBC when the broadcaster agreed to a one-day month delay reporting on the allegations of historical sex abuse in return for advance notification of the raid. There's more to come out of this, and I'm sure there's a few emails that they need to get in there and so have a look at.
Actually, read that bit again. That sounds like there was a backhander there. We'll wait a day if you let us come to the raid.
A month. An independent police review in February 2014 sharply criticised the agreement in 2014 between The Force and the BBC when the broadcaster agreed to a one-month delay reporting on the allegations of historical sex abuse in return for advanced notification of the raid. In other words...
There was a backhander there.
Yeah.
And you wonder why I don't watch the TV.
The Parliamentary Home Affairs Committee had already condemned the Force's handling of the case as utterly inept, but said the BBC was within its rights to run the story. Yes, run the story, but not be the story, because that's what it amounts to. You were there whilst this was taking place. You turned up with the police, with lights and a camera. That's
with
wrong.
With advance notice of it as well.
That's wrong.
You totally wrong.
And when it says, when this guy, Hall, from the BBC, who incidentally, if you pay your television licence, which I do...
You're paying his salary.
You're paying towards his salary. It might only be pence, but you are. You're paying towards his salary. When this guy says, you know, really and honestly, all media ought to be doing this, you know, because that's what it amounts to, his words, I'm thinking... You're two guys that are coming in on the four-piece course. You're learning radio.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely no way should you be doing this kind of stuff.
No.
We mentioned yesterday, radio journalism should be, you know, a little bit nosy, but not intrusive.
Yeah. And facts.
Would you say that was intrusive?
Yeah, that's beyond intrusive.
There you go. I mean, we don't need to have a committee full of idiots.
We don't need a committee of MPs.
It's common
saying
sense.
That, yeah,
it's absolute common sense. And I still can't believe he's only going for £1 million. I would say, look, I'm going to sting the BBC for what I can get, and then I'm going to open up my own TV channel and my own media place, and I'm going to do it properly.
But it's
not intrusive.
About the money, is it?
Well,
it's not about the money for him, is it?
I mean, the sad thing is, he's now 75 years old. He looks fit for 75, but you can see that the last 2-3 years
they've
have taken out of him.
Yeah.
And it, you know, he's looking a little bit frailer than he was a couple of years ago. This court case is probably going to take quite a bit of time. Do you really want to go through that? Do you really want to go through that?
Yeah, wouldn't you?
At the end of
wouldn't
the day,
wouldn't you if it was about your principles it's and your
justice.
Beliefs?
I totally agree.
And what was right? Yes, you absolutely you'd go through it. Doesn't matter how old you are.
But then, just say, for instance, if it you know, takes a couple of years off his life, or it ruins his life for the next couple of years, because let's be honest, if what we're reading, you know, the BBC are saying we've done absolutely nothing wrong, he's got a risky court case there. He might win, he might lose. The cost might be massive. It might
be.
It's
not the point, is it?
It's not the point. You're absolutely right. It's not the point. They should be charging them and getting a camera from the ITV to get around and film
it. Yeah.
I noticed that the top story, I mean, I'll give the BBC their credit, they haven't shirked. They've put it on the news, and they've
but
made
that
it
should,
the news.
That, the headline on that should be, the BBC apologies massively. You know, to Sir
really
Cliff Richard. It's not Cliff Richard, is
it's
it?
Not
it
really
is
a,
Sir
It's not
Cliff
really an apology, is it? When they say,
no.
Oh, you know, sorry for any of the hurt calls, but we were in our rights to do it anyway. Mm.
We
that's not really.
We accepted a bribe.
That's not really sorry, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
We had advance notice
wrong.
It was happening. We delayed it. We no, it's wrong. Totally wrong.
I think there's more to come out of that than meets the eye, and I think it'd be fascinating to watch that. But I don't think that will get inside a courtroom. I think it will be settled. The BBC ought to be saying, "You only want £1 million. All right, Cliff, you can have it. Now be on your way."
Yeah, but then where's they still win in that case?
There's no
they?
Justice
yeah,
there,
no
is
there?
There
is no justice. There is no justice. If you look at a picture of Cliff Richard as he is today, he is very frail looking, and he's obviously been through the mire there. And I do feel sorry for him.
And he would be, wouldn't he?
Yeah,
he would be.
Yeah, I do feel sorry for him. But anyway, Cliff Richard has instructed lawyers to make a formal legal complaint to South Yorkshire Police and the BBC over their handling of the police raid. Police investigating historical sex allegations launched an investigation in 2014, which was filmed by the BBC. Sir Cliff, 75, was told last month he would not face criminal proceedings. In the absence of the satisfactory answers, a court will determine whether or not their behaviour was justified and proportionate. Well, I'm hoping that, fingers crossed, this comes around very quickly and the BBC get a huge slap on the wrist and a massive fine
and the publicity to go with it,
and lessons learned. It's a bit like the Tony Blair situation. I still think that he ought to answer to war crimes, purely and simply because the next prime minister comes in, if she thinks that she can just go and invade a country and just bomb the hell out of it and not have any repercussions, then surely this is the great way of teaching them that they can't do what they blooming well like.
Because in life, whatever you do, there's consequences for it, and we are all responsible for our own actions. End of.
We try to be. Mm. Ali, obviously, some of us a bit more than others. Anyway, look, the guys are in, just to sort of get a feel for their own debate, because you've got your own debate coming up
Thursday
in a couple of days' time. And just tell us a bit about it.
Well, it's we're debating, as I said earlier, we're debating the best band in the world and actually what goes around with that and how it changes with opinions on different people and how they perceive a band, how they see what makes it great. And I personally think it's catchy tunes. That's why the Beatles did so well. Because I can't think of a single song the Beatles did that doesn't have a sort of catchy...
See, I don't like the Beatles.
You don't like the Beatles? No. Well, this is going to go well, then. That's a good pitch.
Right, I'm not in Thursday, but I don't like the Beatles.
Great question, Jack. Why are you like the Beatles?
Yeah. There was nothing charismatic about them.
Yeah, they were new, they had shirts.
Have you heard the
No
Beatles?
One had shirts. Yes. New hairstyle.
Yeah,
have charismatic. Sure?
Of course I have.
Do you know, one of the most remarkable things, two things I've heard here, right, okay, just in one show. I mean, this is great for you. Don't get the Beatles, all right? Okay.
I don't. I've
only
never
an
got
hour
Beatles.
Ago, you were praising up Timmy Mallett, and oh yeah, itsy bitsy weeny teeny, what's it? Yeah, oh, I love that
but
song.
I only love that song because when that song was out, my Laura, bless her heart, absolutely loved it, and I bought it on single, and that was played so much in our house.
She bought it on single, but doesn't like the Beatles.
I've still got it.
See what? Have you, see, it. You guys are all right. Yeah. I'm lumbered with this every Tuesday.
I just keep coming back.
So, come on, just very quickly, favourite band? What made you want to pick up a guitar?
Radiohead, but they're depressing.
Yeah?
It's always been Radiohead for me.
So they are the number one band for
you?
Yeah. Radiohead?
Radiohead.
Okay, what about you, Jack? Did you mention this yesterday?
Yeah, it's either The Who or The Stone Roses.
Good choice.
Can't decide between the
two. Okay. Did you see The Who when they came to the festival?
Yeah.
Did it mean anything to you?
It was amazing. Wow. I went home and I cried.
Really?
Yeah, I remember that.
It was literally, they are like one of the best bands for me. So okay. It meant so much.
All right. So you've seen The Who, and the other band you mentioned were
Stone Roses.
Have you ever seen them?
I've never seen them, no.
Would you put yourself out a bit, maybe go and see them or not?
Yeah, I would. I would, definitely.
But okay.
No. Well, it's Manchester, isn't it?
Yeah, they started touring again, but it's all like...
That's
Scotland,
all northern.
Manchester, stuff like that. So.
Okay. But The Who are it. I mean, you know, you've got the old mod gear going on there, haven't you?
Yeah.
You've got the mod hairdo, that, you know, that... That fringe thing going on there. You know, did your mum do that with a ruler?
No, my sister did. Not even a lie. Not even a lie.
No, not at all. Hey, look, Jack, and thanks, Kieran, and thank you to Prickles. You brighten up my Tuesday. Stand by, because Andy Knight is on the way. That's Sir Andy to you. He's here next.